It's being marketed as the world's first solar-powered car. It'll be ready for the market in November for a cool €250,000. That's over $425,000 New Zealand dollars to you. Well, our next guest, Ashifa Kassam, a journalist based in Madrid, took the Lightyear Zero solar car for a test drive. Good morning, Ashifa.
Good morning.
That's a scary price tag. Were you nervous getting behind the wheel?
I was. The nervousness was compounded by the fact that I haven't driven in quite a while. I live kind of in central Madrid. I don't actually drive that often. So this had been my first time behind a car in probably 3 or 4 years. And it was a car with that price tag. And so I was incredibly nervous.
I'm surprised they let you near it.
I diplomatically didn't mention to them that I hadn't driven in years. And I quietly, you know, didn't say anything until I was behind the wheel. And then I said, by the way, you should probably keep a close eye on me.
Well, what's it like to drive it? It's a four-wheel drive sedan.
Exactly. So it's really sleek. When you're driving it, truthfully, after the first few minutes, there's still some kinks that they're sorting out. The steering wheel is incredibly heavy and the brakes are very responsive. And so you have this weird combination of, you know, heavy steering wheel. And then the minute you touch on the brakes, you're stopped. But they're still working that out. But otherwise, once you get in and you get used to it, it really did feel like any other car. I was very excited for the solar car idea and for to get in and feel something completely different. But it felt like I was driving a Toyota Corolla or a Honda Accord. It was very normal. And I mentioned that to the company after when I got out. They all asked, how was it? What did you think? It felt normal. And they tell me that's a huge compliment. That's what we're looking for. We want it to feel like any other driving experience.
Is it only powered by solar or do you have to plug it in as well?
You have to plug it in. And so essentially it runs on both. So ideally, kind of with perfect conditions, say here in sunny Spain, you could get about 44 miles a day from solar power. So what the company says is that most people, they figured out that the average commute is about 22 miles. And so essentially, if you're doing that average commute in the Netherlands, then you could run entirely on solar energy for 2 months. If you're doing that average commute in Spain or Portugal, then it could be 7 months. That being said, most people don't only drive 22 miles a day. And so if you're doing anything longer, it does plug in. It's an electric vehicle. And so really what we're talking about is more of a solar-assisted electric vehicle.
I see. That's 70 Ks in our language here. And what's its range between charges?
So it can go up to, I believe it's 388 miles, which is something like 625 kilometers. And so it can get fairly good range, pretty much comparable with most of the top-end electric cars. And then you have this additional drip of the solar feed.
What do the solar panels look like, Ashifa? You say it's draped in them, and you describe it as being windswept, which I think is a nice description.
Yeah, it's really quite something because it gives the car this really futuristic look. It's incredible. So you've got this really kind of windswept aerodynamic car, and then it's just covered the top. The kind of entire top is covered in 5 square meters of these panels, and they've got this patent on it so that they've managed to actually curve the solar panel. So you've got this kind of almost Batman-looking car that's just covered in these panels that stretch across kind of from the bonnet all the way to the back of the car. And those are kind of black, and then the rest of the car is silver. And so it gives it this really neat two-tone, futuristic kind of Superman kind of look. It's quite something.
A Buzz Lightyear sort of look.
Yes, exactly.
To infinity and beyond. You went with the lead engineer for the Dutch car company Lightyear, and he told you they had to build the car from the ground up.
Yeah, that was something that was really interesting, and it's something that I had never thought of before. But I guess if you take your typical kind of average car, let's say a Toyota Corolla, and you put 5 square meters of solar panels on top of them, you don't end up necessarily getting enough power from those solar panels to make a lot of difference in the car. So you turn on the air conditioning and you've used up all the energy you're getting from those solar panels. And so it doesn't make a lot of sense for a normal car. And so what the company did when they decided they wanted to build a car that realistically used solar energy as much as possible, they started from basically the ground up and they said, well, we have to make this incredibly efficient. We have to make this incredibly aerodynamic so that all the energy, so that the energy use is so low that it can actually take advantage of the solar panels. And so it's kind of this interesting, it wasn't just a matter of tacking on solar panels onto a normal car. They really had to think about, okay, well, we need to make sure that not one little bit of energy is being wasted. And that transformed how the car looks and how the car feels. So you don't have, for example, any kind of side view mirrors. You have cameras that are built in. The motor is actually the motor is divided among the four wheels, because that was a way that they found that the energy could then go back into things like braking. And so it's really the whole car, the concept of it is about using energy as efficiently as possible. And that way they can take advantage of the solar panels.
Wow, the motor is divided amongst the four wheels. Interesting. If you go to fix it, where's the bonnet?
That was actually that's an interesting question that people were asking them is kind of so you've got 946 is the ideal number that they want to send out. That's a nod to the light year concept. And so if one of these arrives in New Zealand or in Spain, what happens if something goes wrong? And so they're hoping to build a network of garages that would be able to help them with repairs. But if something really awful happens, you'd have to send this back to the Netherlands because it is so such a specialized car at this point, and there's not that many people that understand the kind of technology that went into it.
Well, you have to send it back. Well, if you had 420,000 NZ dollars to do it, I guess you could put it on a container ship all the way back. And also, you need it to be in a sunny place. Spain is great, but and you need to park it outside as well. No garage for light year zero.
Yeah, that was another thing I realized. So I have a parking in my building, but it's underground. And if you put a car like this in that underground parking, you're not really getting anything out of it. And so it has to be outside. And then it brings into all these other considerations, if you think about it, Karen, because it has to be outside, but it's also a fairly delicate car. You get someone who kind of gives you a little bump in the fender and you can break one of these solar panels, right? And so you have to worry about it has to be in a fairly safe place. And the other thing, the solar panels would need to be cleaned fairly regularly. If they get dirty and dusty, then they're not getting the same absorption from the sun. And so there's all these little things that come into it that really, I mean, along with the price tag, which right away signals that this is not a car for everyday people. There's all these other little things that you need to have a very specific place that you can put this in, and you need to have an insurance company that's willing to work with you on the fact that you do have solar panels draped across your car, which then you are taking into traffic. And there's all these little things to think about.
You reckon they'll sell them?
So they've had about 190 pre-orders. So 190, they're hoping to sell 946 is the maximum run. So they do have, almost 200 people that are interested. I mean, obviously it's a very specific segment of the population. And that's this run I should mention is actually only in Europe. Right now, the car is only kind of specified for European standards. People can take it, but they would have to get permission from American authorities, New Zealand authorities to actually drive it. So that's 190 people in Europe, probably early adapters, probably people that are very excited about this. Whether they'll get to 946, that's a tough say. I think they had, when I spoke to them last, they said, well, minimum 250 is what we're thinking, maximum 946. So I think even they know that this is a tough sell.
They're not the only company that are into solar cars, though, are they? Mercedes-Benz, even Toyota, who you mentioned.
Yeah, now as solar panels have become more accessible, you're seeing a lot more car companies flirt with this idea. And so there are some traditional manufacturers. So Mercedes-Benz, as you mentioned, it is aiming to put out a car next year that will have solar panels on the roof. And we've got as well, Toyota has at times offered its Prius with the optional kind of add-on of solar panels. But what you were getting from there was, I think it was 5 or 6 miles a day, so kind of 10 or 12 kilometers, very small amounts of power. And I think it was more the novelty of it than the actual kind of what you're getting out of it. That being said, there are other companies like Lightyear that are not traditional manufacturers that are dabbling in this field. And so you've got one coming out of Munich next year, the Scion, that will be a solar car, and it's kind of billing itself as a family car that would actually be affordable. So it would be around, I think, 25,000, 28,000 euros. And so you've got that one, and you've got a company, a startup in California, that's also doing pre-orders on a family car. And they've developed this other car that they had that's a very kind of city slicker, three-wheeled, futuristic look that they also have had a lot of interest in. And so there is movement in this field. It's starting, but it's slow. It's a lot of work.
Would you like one? Would you swap your own car for one?
That is a very good question, Karen. I don't think so. Well, let's see. If someone said to me, you can do it for completely, no cost, we'll just trade cars, then I would do it because it would be probably better for the environment. And I don't, as I mentioned, I don't drive very often, so it would be okay. But would I pay 250,000 euros for this at this point? I don't think so. I think that they're still working this out. Yeah, I'm definitely not one of these early adopters, so yeah, probably better to wait till all the kinks are sorted out, and maybe in a few years, I think it would be a really interesting possibility.
Fantastic. Ashifa, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.